Today is my last Sunday in Manchester, and the end of, or coming to the end of, what was probably one of the most remarkable experiences that I've had in this lifetime, and I'm having to leave it behind. And it's very interesting to begin to let go of something that has in many ways defined you or defined a part of you for a period. In Henry V, there's a wonderful speech called the St. Crispin's Day speech, and it's a speech that Henry V makes to the guys who are about to go into battle. And essentially he says, "We brothers, we band of brothers, those of us who fight today and who live to tell the tale, will be defined by this day. And those who don't will be remembered for this day. But those who run from the battle, those who don't engage it, will always live knowing that they were not part of it." And it's a very inspiring speech because it really calls all of us to account. Either we engage the life that's set in front of us or we don't. We engage the battles, we engage the drama, we engage the efforts that we need to make. And this was one of those circumstances the last 3 months that I've been here, and the last almost 5 years since I've been working on this play, that I could have absented myself from it. I could have said, I don't really have to be there. I can come in at various points along the way and check it out, see that things are okay, fix this, fix that. And it would have been fine on some level, but I would have missed it. I would have missed something that turned out to be truly remarkable, truly instructive, life-changing, celebratory, so many wonderful things. And it allowed me, by being here, to have been in the trenches with these remarkable people, so that we fought together the battle to make this show happen, rather than my coming in as the commander and saying, "Well done, guys," and then flying away again and not really having been part of the drama, part of the effort. So I am totally grateful for having been here. And the last weeks, now that the play is open, have been particularly celebratory of me, in a way. I'm acknowledged as having been, you know, the creator of this play. And actually last week, Jerry Zucker was here, the director of the film, and at the end of the play, on the night that Jerry was visiting, the director stepped on stage at the end of curtain calls and announced that Jerry and I were both in the auditorium. And the crowd broke out into this extraordinary cheering and applause. And had I been younger and less tutored in the sort of spiritual dimension, I don't know that I would have ever come down from the inflation that that kind of creates. But, you know, I've been around the block many, many times, and I have learned long ago that it's not me. That it's not me doing it. That I am, in a sense, operating in a state of grace. That remarkable things have been given in this situation. And that by stepping out of the way, by allowing them to flow through, they have manifested as they wanted to, and that I facilitated them not by doing it, but by allowing it to happen. And I see so often in the realm of creative life, but even in other realms, everyone is rushing in to take credit. Everyone wants to own it. Everyone wants to be the person known for success and to run as fast as they can from failure. But the idea is not to embrace either. They come and they go, and I've been around enough to see both. And one of the great joys of having been in this absurd profession, the filmmaking profession, is that I've hit top and bottom a fair number of times, so I get the ride, I get the roller coaster, I get how it works. And I no longer am caught by the adulation or the blame, because I have worked as hard as I can work to make the best thing I know how to do, but also I am one of many people operating here. And so together we are that which makes something happen. And in truth, you have to get this. That's all life is. We're all operating together. Everyone who wants it for themselves is in the way. Everyone who wants the praise, the glory, the affirmation, the sense of I am the thing that made this happen is going to be in trouble, because ultimately that gets taken away. One of the extraordinary things of spiritual awakening is that you realize you have nothing to do with it. You never did. It just happens. And the more you are out of the way, it happens. The more you are in the way, you obstruct the happening. And even though some things may transpire and big and good things will happen to you, if you're owning it, you're only going to lose it. Because ultimately, it's all puff of smoke. It's an experience. It's the moment. It's this moment. And this moment is already gone. It's past. And no matter how great it was or how terrible it was, it's over. The only moment that is, of course, this one. And so as I walk away from this remarkable experience, there's a part of me that thinks I'm going to miss it. But I don't know that for a fact at this point, because I get to do it. I get to live in the next moment and the next one, or let's put it more precisely, I get to live in this moment and this moment and this moment. And one of the things I have come to really understand is the preciousness and the infinite expansive nature of this moment. And this moment is in no way less than or more than the one that preceded it or one that will follow it. And so you just enter it. You just be in it and let it offer up what it wants to offer. And it always offers something remarkable, because the event itself, whatever is appearing in front of you, is a manifestation of this infinite, vast energy that is really who you are. So if nothing is happening in the moment that excites you or demands your time and attention, sit back and be. Be the vastness of yourself. It's completely satisfying. You don't need anything to emerge in it, because you are already the space in which it's emerging. So you sit back and just go, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating, because there's no need to do until there is. And when that need arises, you'll know it. It will say, do now. Create this, build this, go to work, earn a paycheck. It tells you to do that. And if you don't resist that, remarkable things occur. You are in flow with what is. And being in flow with what is extraordinary, even if it's the most mundane thing. Even if it's 9 to 5, boring, and I'll use that word in quotes, job, and it's only boring because your mind isn't there. It's boring because your mind wants to be somewhere else and it's frustrated by the repetition. But if you sit in the moment and you're truly there, there's nothing repeating. It's just the newness of that moment. That's all that's happening. The newness of that moment or this moment. And it's like that forever. A very dear friend of mine, Barbara Boster Phillips, her mother was a factory worker, assembly line. She went to work every day on the same factory line for 45 or more years, and was one of the happiest human beings I ever met. And she said she couldn't wait to get to work, because the environment was filled with friendships, with the drama of life, the stuff of life. It never got boring to her. It was always where she lived. She loved it. And people don't know that. And so if you're fighting where you are, if you're fighting what's going on in your life, you're stuck in it. Fighting it is the entrapment. Accepting it is that which frees you, and it frees you in various ways. One of the ways it frees you is that by not fighting it, you're in a state of peace. And when you're not fighting it, the creative juice that moves through the moment often raises you to the next level. It's the way up. The way up is not fighting. The way up is accepting and finding this new motivation in you, this new clarity, this new creative juice that will allow you to express yourself more fully, more completely, and go up the old proverbial ladder. What keeps you stuck is fear, the idea that you're going to be judged, found wanting, all of these crazy things that are all about some future projection that probably would never happen, And so what you have to do is you bring yourself back into this moment and let the richness of that fuel your life. It will fuel and drive you to levels of being that you're going to be shocked by, because it's so full, it's so dynamic, it's so rich. I had an experience yesterday. I wanted to watch the show from backstage. I'd never done that. I wanted to stand in the wings and watch the props go on and off and the set changes and the actors getting, you know, changing costumes in about 12 seconds and seeing how the whole thing worked. And it had been kind of invisible to me, not totally, because I'd been around during rehearsals and I watched everybody working. But the level of operation is so big now. There's so many hundreds of people working. And backstage is small and dark and not enough room to keep everything, so you have to fly things in the air and bring them down. And we have these things on stage called travelators that things move across and things have to be put on at exactly the right moment. It's really unbelievable. And what it was, watching it for me, was it was like the best dance or ballet I'd ever seen. It was so beautiful, it was so moving that I was brought to tears by the absolute involvement of each person who knew exactly what they needed to do. And there's one wonderful guy, Luciano, who sort of took it upon himself to keep moving me like a piece of furniture or prop to one safe spot after another because stuff was coming off so fast and moving around so quickly that I could easily have been in the way. But I was not in the way because I was aided by somebody of higher consciousness, and they helped me. And I watched how this worked, and I watched how the universe works when everybody knows their job and does what they're supposed to do. It's extraordinary. And there were certain scenes that went on for about 8 or 10 minutes, and so I watched the stagehands. They all had books, and they knew the 8 minutes they had to read. They sat down on a couch, had little lights, and they would read, close the book, get back to work. Everyone knew their place, everyone did it, and everyone served the show. Serving the show is, in a sense, metaphorical for serving the big show called life. We all have our part, we all have our place, we all have our thing to do. Some of us will be celebrated, some of us won't be celebrated. But I will tell you this, celebration doesn't add to the equation. It doesn't add to the happiness. I know people think it does, but what makes you happy is being. When the energy comes to me of celebration, I do this thing of just sending it off. Because it's not me. I don't even remember writing the movie anymore. It was so long ago. You know, all I remember is that I was allowed to experience it first. That the energy came through me first and then went out into the public arena. This is an extraordinary thing. I'm not belittling the experience. But all I can tell you is that celebrating oneself is problematic. Allowing yourself to think you are anything that people tell you makes you something. It makes you a thing. It makes you an object. It makes you crystallize. And as soon as you've crystallized, you're this locked-in entity and you're not free. So I don't want that anymore. I've had enough years of knowing what that's about, so I just let it go. Just let it go. I mean, there are those guys who were at the St. Crispin Day battle, who then lived with that story for the rest of their lives, who were then defined by that story. And there are two ways to do that. One is to become locked into that's who I was and what I was and tell that story for the next 50 years of your life. Another is to know internally, I was there. I was part of all of this. There's a difference. One of the differences is that one of them defines and limits you, and one of them ennobles you. And you have to find the one that ennobles you. You're part of this. You're part of the backstage. You're part of what makes life work. You're part of what puts this whole amazing production into place. And it's an extraordinary gift to be part of all of this. We are all blessed to be part of it, whether you're the guy given to writing the show, or the director, or the musician, or the stagehand, or the actor, or the singer, or whatever you are. It couldn't go on without you. One person gone messes up everything. If I add a word of dialogue now to the show, they have to change the music cues, the lighting cues, the prop cues. Everything changes just because the timing changes. We're all so tightly integrated with each other that this whole operation, this whole world event that we are part of is it needs us. We're part of it. We are integral to it. And when you sit back and just open to that and realize that, you don't need to be the best, the first, the foremost, the richest, the poorest. All you need is to be there. And if you can let go of judgment and of wanting more and wanting less or wishing it would be otherwise, let go of that, you will be unbelievably satisfied with what and who you are. And I know that's going to sound so frustrating to so many of you because you still have these dreams and ambitions, but let me explain. Those dreams and ambitions are part of this. It's okay to have dreams and ambitions. It's okay to want all these things. It's okay to go after them. But understand that in the end, the thing that you truly are doesn't arrive anywhere. It doesn't get anything. It doesn't own anything. It is already complete. The ride itself is a joy or not. The journey through life is an extraordinary experience. But in the end, all experience, the best and the worst, goes poof. The curtain comes down. You walk home alone. I've been doing that after the play. I walk home alone. People outside the theater are crowding around, talking about it, laughing, saying, one woman said as we were walking out, she said, that's better than the movie. That's the best play I ever saw in my whole life. And they're still standing up and stomping and screaming and yelling and applauding. And I hear all that. And I could eat that. But I just walk down the stairs, I walk out the door, I walk down the sidewalk, the crowds disperse, and I go back to my apartment. And it's not sad at all. The walk home is as rich as sitting in the theater, and it's as rich as the people applauding and talking after the show. So now I'm about to leave Manchester. I'm off to come back to the States. I'm going to be seeing all of you, I hope, starting this coming Sunday, and for the next 6 weeks I will be in LA and then New York. And then I go back to London for the official opening of this show. We still have 2 months of work to do of getting it ready to open officially there. And then I'm on to the next thing. And I have no idea, for the first time in my life, I have no idea what the next thing is. I no longer want to write movies. I no longer have any ambition in any of those arenas. I don't know what comes next. And I don't think about it or worry about it at all. Because something will arise. And if nothing arises, I will plant flowers in the garden. So, curtains come down, guys. They always come down. Be prepared for things to end and new things to start. And if nothing starts, you always have the eternal present. I hope this was meaningful. I look forward to seeing you all, and I love you very much. Ciao.